T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Celtics, for the second time this year, their 9-game win streak will come to an end in a Monday night road game. And they will take their talents and the NBA's best record to South Beach. Well, Orlando shoots 51% from the floor. They knocked down their threes tonight. Cole Anthony was great off the Orlando bench. And the Magic become the first team this year in Jonathan Isaac's return to beat the Celtics in this season series.
Again, Megan Ottolini, as we cruise into the 4 o'clock hour. And the Celtics, I don't know, too much time at the Magic Kingdom, maybe, something. They cannot beat the Orlando Magic.
It wouldn't just, you love that if there was an investigation into, like, photos surfaced of them on Splash Mountain? It's like, this is what your Celtics were doing.
I'm sure Williams. Nobody around here would make a big deal out of that.
But they only rode, not. Like, the canceled rides, like Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain's canceled?
Splash Mountain got canceled.
Why? Did it say something racist?
Yeah, yes. Had like problematic characters in it.
Didn't it get shut down this week?
I think so. They're revamping Splash Mountain. Are you Googling it right now?
Yes, because I don't know. I can't believe it.
It was tied back to like a...
The Song of the South is rooted
with like...
Song of
the South with like Uncle Remus and has some like pretty problematic undertones, but...
Splash Mountain was the Song of the South?
Yes.
Yeah. Zippity-doo-dah.
All the bears singing and everything.
I don't remember that. I just remember the log going through the water and...
Yeah, you did.
I don't remember anything else. The Splash Mountain will close amid the racial justice movement as the ride is based on the film Song of the South, long criticized as racist and was pulled from distribution on its romanticized depiction of post-Civil War South. I didn't even realize that that's what Splash Mountain was about.
Reconstruction was in all song and dances, I can tell you.
Have you been on Splash Mountain?
I have.
Yeah, back in the day, sure, yeah.
I used to ride that ride.
I was
time
not aware
time
of the
again.
Racial undertones that accompanied it. I honestly had no idea. Cancel culture coming for Splash Mountain. Oh, man. That's a tough one. But they're rebranding it, so it's just going to be...
I have no idea what the new rebrand is. I hope it's not like Buzz Lightyear Splash Mountain, because that's what they tend to do.
Yeah.
They had another one that was... the Tiki Room. Do you remember that one? It was a bunch of birds. You went and sat down and the birds sang. But they rebranded it to... like Disney cartoon birds. And
is it offensive to birds?
I think they just thought it was like too weird and old fashioned, but I was pretty disappointed. Like, when are they going to cancel Pirates of the Caribbean?
That got changed.
That one got changed
too?
They
took out the pirates chasing the women. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pirates are actually really nice people.
Okay, that creates some other undertones about the pirates if they're not chasing the women.
I didn't remember that either.
Are you
the
saying
Pirates
you're not a real
Caribbean
pirate
ride.
If you're not chasing women?
I don't remember them chasing any women in the ride. I don't know. I guess I misremember these things. Like, I didn't know that there was that. I thought Splash Mountain was just you get in the log, it takes you to the top, and you go down and through the water. I didn't know there was anything else.
I don't remember
any other part of it.
There's a whole story.
There is?
Yeah.
What? I thought it was just
a wet
plume at Canopy Lake.
No, it's like a fox, isn't it? That's trying to run away. And like, that's what I'm saying. There's some weird undertones.
It's almost like it's so insignificant. It's wild that this much attention is being paid to it. Like pirates chasing women. I don't recall any of this. I just remember, hey, it's a fun ride. Let's go slide down and get wet.
Well, this is also like, don't take your kids to Disney if they're like 2 years old. They're not going to remember the trip and it's a waste of money.
Well,
no
you
offense,
can't go
Arcan.
On Splash
I'm
Mountain
just advising.
With
don't take
them
at all.
You can't go on Splash Mountain with a 2-year-old.
My baby's too big to fit on the ride, so I don't think
that's
that it would
true.
Matter anyway.
They measure your head before you get
in
the
log.
Your head must be
and they're like, this baby, if we let this baby in the log, it's going to kill everyone.
Arkan's just like, hey, he's too, tall enough.
He's too top heavy. His head is too big.
I asked the doctor today. I was like, so is he going to be able to walk normally or is his head going to like... He's not walking yet. He's just learned to crawl. But like once he stands up and tries to walk, his head just going to make him fall?
When he crawls, does he like drag his head along on the carpet?
No, he doesn't.
Okay, well that's
like the Exorcist. No, I don't think so. Anyway, did not know that about Splash Mountain. I'm gonna have to rethink all of this. But I can tell you this: the Boston Celtics, whatever they were doing, going to Splash Mountain, whatever, they were not beating the Orlando Magic. They've now lost all three games. I think that's it, right? No more? That's the season
They're
series
done with the Magic.
Swept?
I thought the first third game of the season, I think they beat the Magic. But what Sean Grady was saying there is that the Magic are the first team this season to win a season
that's
series
what it was,
against
right.
the
They
Celtics.
Didn't sweep them. They did beat the hell out of them, though. And I'll tell you what, that's a tough matchup. I don't understand why the Magic aren't better. I mean, they really suck. They're 18-29. They're not a good team. They get their ass kicked routinely, except when they play the Celtics. So, and when they play the Celtics, everything you see, like you look at them and you're like, wow, this team's pretty good. Like they got some big, athletic, fast guys who can shoot and play defense and all this stuff. Then you watch them play any other team and they're garbage. Like it's so weird. It's a random thing that happens this year.
The incredible thing about the Magic is it's like somebody playing fantasy NBA for the first time ever, and they're like, I'm just going to pick the tallest guys.
Right.
Everybody on my roster is going to be 6'10 or above. Like, if you look at their starters, I mean, first of all, they have two guys who are 7 feet or taller. Bol Bol is 7'2".
And Mo Bamba?
Mo Bamba, even though he didn't play last night. Their starters, Carter is 6'10". Banchero is 6'10". Wagner is 6'10". Like, three of their starting lineup is all nearly 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
So when you turn the freaking ball over 18 times, like, they do have the length to grab that. And then they're a fast break team. I mean, those tall freaks can move it down the court. So the points that they had, I think, 11 points off turnovers last night. And they had 24 fast break points. Like, they're a run and gun team. So when you're sloppy with the ball, like the Celtics were last night, and like they are so often, even though I know listeners don't want to hear that and they want to call in and get all mad about how all stars turn the ball over. Well, this is what happens when you're badly matched up against a tall-ass team with long arms that can run and gun.
Yeah, and it also is what happens when Blake Griffin's in your starting lineup because the whole team's injured.
So
I
that's
mean,
why
that
it's
too.
Like, yeah, that's why you can't go nuclear here because, you know, a huge amount of the Celtics starters were out.
True, but Tatum and Brown played, and I think we all agree that as long as Tatum and Brown are in the starting lineup, you can kind of mix and match
Smart
the rest of them.
Yeah, but Smart and Rob Williams both out.
They were out, true.
That's significant. Grant Williams really didn't show up. He was not great off the bench. So it's not going to be a different scenario tonight. Like, these are just kind of... The only thing that really concerns me long-term with this is now you start getting into a real blah point in the schedule.
Yeah.
And I feel like... I don't think that this team is this way, but you could get into a stretch here where guys are routinely or seemingly routinely out of the lineup dealing with these like moderate injuries that you definitely want to rest them and keep an eye on. But then it's kind of like, okay, you have a first time interim coach and you start to get the blahs, like the winter blahs of it feels like, man, the finals are a long time away now. The last finals were a long time away. So you don't necessarily have the fire that you had, you know, in December even. And it's still that goal, your ultimate goal that you're singularly focused on is really far off.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And you're playing Orlando and losing.
The winter blahs, I get what you're saying as far as how the Celtics team can kind of rebound against teams that they should be blowing out. What is kind of interesting to me, though, is so your next five games at Miami, home for New York, home for the Lakers, and then home for the Nets, home for the Suns. Those next four games are all nationally televised games. Two TNTs, ABC is the Saturday game, and then they're on ESPN. So you would think that even though they're not great teams that they're playing against, that the national audience would be enough to kind of shake the team of the blahs
well,
that
the
a lot
Suns
of teams
are
go
a good
through.
Team.
Suns are good, but the Suns...
We spanked them last time, but
Suns aren't.
Team.
That's not all... That team is not a national televised game. But the Nets, Knicks, Lakers stink. Heat are kind of middling right now. They've been dealing with injuries. You would think that that's usually enough to get Jason Tatum, who desperately wants to be the MVP of the league,
to wake up and go, okay, let's not treat these teams like they are the Orlando Magic and, you know, actually beat up on them like we know we can.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who is number 28? I saw this guy running around, and he had a name that I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce because I'd never seen it before. But can anyone tell me who that guy is?
I had the same exact reaction watching last night. I squinted at my TV, and I was like, am I getting one of these numbers wrong? Who is that?
Yeah. I mean, listen, no offense to the guy. I don't know anything about him. I don't know who he is. He looks like another 6'10 player. He's coming off the bench, playing in the middle, and he got on the court. I saw 28. I thought, oh, they got Michael Petras back.
Nice.
No idea. I had no idea who he was.
That would be Fiondu Kabungele.
Of course.
Who is a power forward and center. He's a right-handed shooter, 6'9", 250. His uncle, apparently, is Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh, really?
Did not know that.
All right.
Did not know that. He was born in Toronto, Ontario. He has 53 games in the National Basketball Association, 2 seasons with the LA Clippers, and 1 season with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He has played 2 games for your Boston Celtics.
Don't sleep on those Canadians, man. Like, no, I'm not kidding.
Steve Nash, Kelly Olynyk.
Canada is producing some players recently.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Bennett.
I think there's a couple in this draft coming up. I don't want to talk about the NBA draft right now at all, or even college basketball.
It's January.
But there is a Canadian trend happening.
Okay. I'll keep an eye on that. Joe Mazzulla.
I bet you didn't know that, Arcan.
I definitely didn't know that. I had no idea there was a
Canadian
NBA moment
going on.
Actually, the Canadian provinces are spitting out some of the highest-ranked prospects.
Don't sleep on those Canadian B-ballers.
Okay, we won't.
Joe Mazzulla, we heard the other day getting a little something.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what the word is, but with John Corrales, they asked him about...
Joe, how would you characterize this win? You had a lot of clutch performances down the stretch, but you also had a lot of sloppy turnovers down the stretch.
Yes.
How would you, is this a good win? Is this something that...
I mean, is there a bad win?
I mean, there are wins...
We did say before that if we didn't win, it was the end of the world. So I know. So now that we won, I feel like we...
Right, but...
No, I'm just kidding.
anyway, so Mazzulla... Not one to shy away from maybe mixing it up with a reporter here and there. We heard that one. We all sort of laughed at it, chuckled at it, and thought, all right, well, maybe he just, was feeling kind of spicy that day. Seems like he was feeling a little spicy yesterday, too. Abby Chin asking him some questions.
What do you mean?
Listen to Joe Mazzulla and Abby Chin here.
Timeout at 8:11 in the first half. Give you some more confidence.
I called one?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And that's why we lost.
Oh, and then you went on a 21-5 run.
Oh,
well. Second quarter.
Yeah.
So, the need to bring it up.
Thank you.
Okay, so maybe Joe Mazzulla is a little bit of a... maybe a little bit of an a-hole to him. I don't know. I'm not gonna call the guy an a. I don't know, but I think that thing with the timeouts is something that he's been getting asked about a lot, and he's probably kind of fed up with it. But still, it did. You just lost to a really bad team. You're gonna get questions about it. Maybe answer him. Maybe answer him instead of being firing off jokes like you're Don Rickles. That's just a suggestion. You do whatever you want. Obviously, this guy's gonna be maybe coach of the year. He's probably gonna be coaching the Eastern Conference in the All-Star game this year, at the very least. Should he be? You tell me. But he's doing a good job with this team, and they're winning, and they're the best team in the NBA, and he's kind of acting like it a little bit,
I think he's just a very dry guy. His sense of humor is extremely dry, and I think he likes to mess with the media in these, because he knows that it's being recorded, and then we're going to go out and... But I don't know that the media is always in on the joke, especially after a loss. It's like... But yeah, okay, fair enough. The timeout conversation, it's like, enough. We know his timeout strategy. Like, maybe we can return to this in the playoffs if it bites him in the butt then. But do we have to ask about the timeout? Hey, you asked a timeout at this point. Hey, did you want to ask a timeout there? Did you think about the timeout here? And I'm not saying that Abby is the only one doing that. Abby Chin's there almost every single night.
I don't think she's
night,
out for
so.
A gotcha moment with
no,
Joe
no, no,
Mazzulla.
No, no, no. But it reads really weirdly, doesn't it? And I'm not saying this as, a woman in sports or anything like that.
You're a woman in sports?
It does read extra weird against Abby Chin, the local reporter who's there every night, right?
But did he win the Tommy Award?
It's sort of a layup, like, oh, you guys really struggled, then you called a timeout, and then you won a 21-5
run, and he's like, oh, well, I'm going to answer this like, oh, I don't know, Greg Popovich. If Greg Popovich gave that answer, you'd think you would know where he's coming from because there is a track record. It's like, dude, you're not even 50 games into the season, and you're acting like, you know, you're HC and not possibly interim coach of the year.
You know what's funny about that game last night, too, is that they were, like, in the first half, they trailed almost the entire first half, and then at the end of the half and in the third quarter, they took the lead back, and it was like, oh, okay, now they're going to take care of business. And then in the third and in the fourth quarter, they scored 19 points. That's what, like, that's usually when a good team puts a bad team away.
Flips the switch and is like, let's stop playing with our food.
Orlando was like, all right, we're going to stop playing with our food, actually, because the Celtics are our food this year somehow.
Yes, the Magic, a good team, put a bad team in the Celtics away.
And that's what happened. I mean, that's honestly exactly how it went. They ended up losing by 15 points. Like, that was not, you know, like, that, it's just a really weird way for that game to go.
I don't want to see the Magic in the finals. I'd be scared.
I know.
I'd have the Magic sweeping easy.
Underrated when
two
you go
teams
to,
in the same conference will be in the finals. That'd be an amazing thing.
Yes,
to
of
have
course.
Yes,
yeah.
Nice. When you go to Disney World, you get those ice cream. You know the ice cream.
The Mickey Mouse ice cream.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know
$13
right?
ice cream. Yeah.
They're dipped in chocolate. Why do those taste so good there?
I think they taste good everywhere.
I've never gone into a supermarket and bought those. So maybe after the show.
All right. Yeah, I'll do that. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. The Boston Celtics having real trouble with the Orlando Magic, and they may have more trouble because tonight's injury report against the Miami Heat, everybody's out. Ryan Garvin will tell you more about that and what's trending, and we'll get back to the Celtics with your phone calls next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio, WEEI, Christian Arcan, Megan Ottolini here with you until 6 o'clock. Phone number 617-779-7937 if you'd like to jump in on our Celtics conversation that we're having right now. Celtics lose again to the Orlando Magic last night, 113-98. It was ugly. It's an ugly showing from your Boston Celtics, and they got the Heat tonight in Miami. And I hate to throw a big, if you were planning on, I don't know, doing something for that game, watching that game out tonight or something, I'll just tell you, not a lot of guys going to be playing in that game. You just heard Ryan Garvin tell you, but I'll repeat it. Malcolm Brogdon out tonight for personal reasons. Jaylen Brown managing his right adductor injury. Gallinari's out, obviously. He's out all year. Al Horford out with lower back stiffness. And Marcus Smart continues to remain out with that sprained right ankle, which means You're going to be pretty thin in the middle, that's for sure. And that probably means extra minutes for Robert Williams tonight, I would think. He's not on the injury report. And he
shouldn't. It shouldn't.
What?
Extra minutes for Robert Williams?
Well, I mean,
no, thank you.
So many bigs. There's only so many bigs on the roster.
He's hyperextended his knee.
Hey, we'll
Why
see.
Why are you putting him in extra minutes against the Heat in January?
You. I don't know.
Don't
listen,
be ridiculous.
You tell me. I mean,
extra
hey,
minutes for Luke Kornet.
I
he's
hope
not in the injury
least
report.
Five of the 75 sports medicine experts,
the sports medicine triumvirate,
are listening. Don't do that. That's not worth it. Also, I'm kind of surprised that they listed Al Horford with low back stiffness. He's not playing back-to-back still. Like, they had him off for two nights before he saw the Warriors.
Right.
So why wouldn't they just write load management?
I think you can't do that. I think you have to call it something. Remember, didn't Adam Silver come out and say we're trying to
what
cut,
about,
cut
like,
back
veterans
on...
veterans rest? Yeah, that's is that on the NFL?
The San Antonio Spurs rule.
Yeah, right. The exactly. The Popovich
rule. And I think the Warriors just went through this after the Celtics game where they didn't play like Steph and Clay and Jordan Poole and a couple other guys,
so
too.
So if it's low back stiffness, can you at least give them a fake injury that sounds less like an old guy thing? Like, oh, my low back stiff. Because it's probably true,
oh, geez.
But I don't really want him being marketed that way to other teams, you know, if I'm the Celtics. Be something like, I don't know, what's a young person injury?
I don't know, broken collarbone. From snowboarding or
bursitis.
Yeah.
Bursitis?
HPV, I don't know. Yeah. It's not really an injury, I guess. But
Al can't play tonight. He's got HPV.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Gonna be out for a couple days.
Gotta get some things frozen off.
Gotta get a couple shots.
Horford's gout is out of control.
Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. So that's who's out tonight against Miami. I can tell you this, though. The Celtics still number one on all the power rankings, and they should be. This was on NBA.com here. And the writer, who let me just find it, is John Schumann, had this to say about the Celtics. He said, it's often thought as the toughest part of the season to stay focused, the winter blahs, as you put them. If there's a team that can afford some slippage, it's the Celtics. Celtics have won 9 straight games for the second time this season. This was before they lost last
Not
night.
Not Al Horford.
Showing some resilience along the way. They've had the league's number one defense at 107.8 points allowed per 100 possessions over the course of that streak. And the defense has been at its best in the fourth quarter. They faced fourth quarter deficits Thursday and Saturday, held the Warriors and Raptors to just 36 total points on 50 fourth quarter possessions, with Al Horford making big blocks in both games. The number one defense over the course of that stretch, I knew the defense had gotten better. I didn't realize it was the best in the league, and I know that's a small sample size and everything, but that's important. I think that's relevant for these Celtics because that's been the big difference between this year's team and last year's team, isn't it? They're still good. They're still playing well and winning a lot of games, but they're doing it very differently from last year's team. It's been almost all offense this year, and the defense has been kind of middle of the pack. They've elevated their defense now. I don't know if that's exactly because of Robert Williams or not. I mean, he hasn't played every night, and Marcus Smart's been out with an injury now for a couple of days. So, listen, I mean, it's good news to be sure. I think that it's something they have to keep the pressure on, and that's going to be hard to do when you're missing so many players.
Yeah, going back to the Warriors game, though, and this was something that I talked about and wrote about in the immediate aftermath of that, this demonstrates to me how versatile this team is. So finding different ways to win. One of the things that Scal said when we talked to him, I don't know, maybe a month ago, and I was asking about how this defense had fallen off a little bit since last season when they were far and away the best defense in the league. He was saying some of that comes at the expense of having such a dynamic offense, so an offense that relies heavily on these motions and getting lots of touches to different guys and everything, and just being very, very active, kind of like the way that the Warriors offense ran last year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on the something has to give. You can't do everything on both ends all the time. So now I wonder, you know, in certain cases, okay, certain guys are out of the lineup or just being less productive or the offense isn't clicking, so then you can turn and have your defense surge a little bit. So I read that absolutely as a good thing. Now, can they maintain the focus? Can they, with a first-year coach, can he get them through this stretch and keep the focus up and the energy up and manage guys' minutes where they need to be managed with, like, a long-term, you know, sights on what's coming in May, June, that time? I don't know. TBD.
Yeah.
He's smoking reporters in the press conferences.
It's true.
Messing with them. I don't think they're in on the deal.
Well, don't you think it'd be kind of irresponsible of your star players who spent the entire offseason and many portions of this season saying,
We were devastated.
Ryan,
we
are you eating right now? What is happening?
I just had a bite of an apple.
Why did you hop on the mic?
Because I have something
to
say.
An apple.
Okay, you go ahead.
Okay, why don't you chew and swallow?
I'm
and
good.
And then you can chime in. Okay, because it sounded like I didn't know what was happening. Like if you lost a tooth.
Sounded like
there.
Matt Patricia in a
it
coach's
did.
Meeting.
It did sound
hey
like
Hey, guys, I got to tell you something. This apple's delicious. I was going to say.
You know he's not eating apples.
All right, are you done?
Done with what?
The apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, can I go?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I was going to say. That the
no, please nice. Don't. Oh, I hate that.
Was that gross?
Yeah. Ugh.
Your two star players have spent so much time this season in the offseason talking about how devastated they were, and all their motivation is to get back to the finals. I don't even think it's up to Joe Mazzulla at this point. I think it's your two stars in the locker room got to say, listen, it doesn't matter if we're playing the Knicks. It doesn't matter how bad the Lakers are. If we want to get back to our ultimate goal, which allegedly isn't MVPs and singular accolades, we have to focus every single night because you see what happens when they let the rope go. You have Jaylen Brown saying, oh, you know what? We needed to get smacked around by the Oklahoma City Thunder. We needed to get slapped around by the Orlando Magic. It's up to those guys.
Okay, but what about the burnout? I do think back about the regular season. I always think back to the Golden State year, mm-hmm. like the record-setting year, and they talk about they were so focused on that record during the season and all the regular season games that they just flamed out when it came to Cleveland. And some of that, I think, might be an excuse and being like a reminder of, hey, remember how good we were? We're a historic team still, even though we right. lost the championship. But I do think that that's a part of it. I feel that it's more a balance. Yes, you should be focused, but part of that focus also means knowing when to take your foot off the gas pedal a little bit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Don't look now, but the Philadelphia 76ers have won 8 of their last 10 games and 5 in a row, and they're creeping up on you a little bit.
Is that true?
It's true. It's true, Matt Patricia. They're creeping up on you there. But other than that, these other teams, these other Eastern Conference teams, all playing 500 ball lately over the last 2 weeks. The Celtics, I feel like, are a little bit vulnerable right now with all these injuries. I don't think that they're going to suddenly go in the tank. But if they go a stretch where they're sort of, you know, up and down on a nightly basis, sort of losing a game, winning a game, you know, maybe like 5-5 over their next 10, something like that, I'd be interested in seeing if any of these other Eastern Conference teams can take advantage of that. Right now, the Bucks aren't really doing anything special. The Nets without Durant are a pretty average team. Even Cleveland, who I really like, you know, they're not doing a whole lot. And the Miami Heat, who you're going to play tonight, they've been sort of a non-factor this year. I don't know what happened with them. Like, they're, you know what I mean? They're a team that's like conference finals type of team these last couple of years, NBA finals in the COVID year. And now I just sort of feel like they're just maybe a fringe play-in tournament team like that. That's sort of what happened. I don't know. Bam Adebayo, like, they made a big financial commitment to him, and he's really not delivered on that. So I don't know. I think that the Eastern Conference, there's an opportunity for some team here. Maybe it'll be Philly, but there's an opportunity for some team to try and at least, you know, nip at the heels of the Celtics. And this may be the only time that they get to do that. You know, I mean, this may be the only opportunity. So you'll see maybe what some of these other Eastern Conference teams are made out of. I'm not really that scared of Miami, even tonight, even with all the injuries, even with Brown out. I don't know. I just look at the Heat right now and think they're just like any other team in the Eastern Conference. I feel like that about most teams now.
You want to go to the MVP race?
Yes.
So latest from NBA.com, this is the Kia MVP ladder. So Jason Tatum and Joel Embiid are both climbing. Jokic still leads from the Nuggets at number one, followed by Tatum at number two. Last week he was number three, so okay. He jumped. And then we have Joel Embiid, who was at number three, number five last week. Here's the numbers, though. So Tatum's numbers, 31.2 points per game, 8.5 rebounds per game, and 4.3 assists per game. And then you have Jokic with 25.1 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 9.9 assists per game. Notable difference is that Jokic is now up to 90 career triple-doubles. He's tallied
He's ridiculous.
14 this season. He's reached his fifth in six games. Five out of the last six games, he's recorded a triple-double.
These are like Wilt Chamberlain
Jason
numbers.
Tatum has done that twice in his career.
Yeah.
I know that's not the end-all be-all. Just look at Russell Westbrook.
I know.
Like, you can be very strategic about getting that triple-double if you really want it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's insane.
Insane for a guy that plays center. I mean, that's outrageous.
Insane for a guy who looks like he has like a 12-rack of natties after every game.
I know. Like, he's smoking cigarettes in the
locker
room.
No, seriously. Like, what would happen if he had a dry season.
I don't know. He probably wouldn't be the same player, that's for sure. Jason Tatum, I'll tell you what, the reason why he moved up and the only reason why he moved up in the ranking like this is because they won that game. If they hadn't won that game and he had turned the ball over and they ended up losing in overtime, people would be talking about those turnovers and they'd be talking about Jason Tatum maybe even moving down a little bit. Now, Luka Doncic was the big loser in this one. He dropped down to number 4 from number 2, and they're saying it's because of his defense and, you know, the Mavs aren't very good, and I think that sort of thing's starting to catch up to him a little bit. He puts up big numbers once in a while, and that'll get him, you know, MVP votes and push him up this ladder or whatever, but it really is just sort of a game-by-game thing, honestly. You got 4, probably 5 legitimate candidates here. And if you want to expand it a little bit and go down to the top 10, so it's Embiid 3, Doncic 4, Giannis 5, and then the next 5 are Ja Morant, Kevin Durant, Donovan Mitchell.
Kevin Durant's not even playing. What are we doing?
And he only dropped one spot from last week.
He only dropped one spot.
Because he's having a good year. But yeah, I agree with you there. Donovan Mitchell's number 8, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander number 9, and at number 10,
bum, bum, bum.
Number 7 in your programs, number 1 in your hearts, Jaylen Brown, who actually dropped one. He was number 9 last week. I hadn't been paying attention, but you got 2 guys in the top 10 in MVP voting. That's a good place to be in. that's not a spot that I feel like most teams would want to run from. That's a pretty good spot right there. And I'll tell you what, you know, the rest of the 5, it's Curry, Harden, Markkanen in Utah, Julius Randle, and Domantas Sabonis for the Kings, who are surprisingly good this year. But you got 2 legitimate MVP candidates on this team right now. And I sort of feel like so long as you keep them healthy, the rest of this can – it's not unimportant. Obviously, Robert Williams and playing is important, and Al Horford and Marcus Smart, all those guys are important. But you are a deep team. You're deep everywhere, except at wing, and that's where your 2 most important players are, and you need to protect them at all costs. That's really what I think this last week has taught me.
I will also say, I mean, we know these guys have rabbit ears, so they're definitely paying attention to this. And in these blahs of winter, I feel that they know that they're going to be in the playoffs, and the whole road to the playoffs that really starts later in the season, trying to determine your seed for the most part with a record. They have the best record in the NBA. It is just a nice little reminder of keeping yourself engaged at the individual level. If you're Jason Tatum, if you're Jaylen Brown, you may not like that if you're the type of fan who says, like, it's not about them, it's about the team.
Right.
But if you're looking at the night in, night out, something like this where you're graded against your peers every single week and it's shared around and, okay, we got 2 guys in the top 10 race for MVP, that's something to hang on to. That's something to focus on. I mean, you got, at this point in the season, don't you have to look for motivation from everywhere? You know,
absolutely,
like guys make up fake motivation for themselves. Oh, this guy slighted me like this on Instagram. This guy said this on Twitter.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, too. The Celtics all year long have had a massive target on their back. You know, they're considered the class of the league. They're the team in the Eastern Conference, to be sure. I mean, they've been number 1 in the East the entire time, but they've been number 1 in the NBA this whole year. Ja Morant, you know, teams in the Western Conference, they all say the same thing. We're not really worried about any of the teams in our conference. We're worried about the Celtics. Like, that's who we sort of look at. We can get past Denver, and we can get past the Golden State and these other teams, but really what we're worried about is having to go up against these Boston Celtics. And despite that, despite every single team kind of having that same attitude about you, you're still going out there and winning at a tremendous clip. I mean, there's no getting around it. They are talented enough to win even with that kind of pressure on them. The question is, you know, when things start happening later in the year, when guys get injured or, you know, guys get cold or whatever, can you sustain it? And can you also make sure that you avoid the burnout that happened last year when Jason Tatum's in the NBA Finals and he can't get his offense going? Like, that's another big part of this,
I
too.
I think that had to do more with the Bucks and Heat series, though. You know, I mean, that's kind of like your strategy once you get into the playoffs. I don't know.
Yeah.
You could question how Udoka... Are we allowed to say his name? Udoka, at the end of last regular season, he started ramping up.
You have to spit on the floor before you say it.
Exactly. Oh, I spit on his name and then I say it. But how Tatum, you know, he was ramping up Tatum's minutes at the end of the regular season. And some people were questioning, why are you doing that? You got maybe a long playoff run coming up and you're front loaded against the Nets. And at the time he said, well, he's going to be playing lots of minutes in the playoffs, so I need him to be well conditioned. You'd say that backfired a little bit maybe with burnout towards the end, but I think that's more about being in the playoffs. Really quick, on the count of 3, since we were talking so much about the Orlando Magic and Splash Mountain and problematic Disney, who on the Celtics do you think is the most likely to be a Disney adult? You know what a Disney adult is?
Yes, an
adult
I know what a Disney adult is.
An adult Disney, someone who like goes to Disneyland without their kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know what you're going to say. I know what I'm going to say. One, two, three, Grant Williams.
Yep.
I knew it.
He
I can picture him with the hat.
Adult yeah, Disney, doesn't
definitely.
He?
100%. I can see him wearing the hat and eating the ice cream, doing all that. Absolutely.
Like posing with, what's a Disney character? I don't know. The duck with
Goofy.
No pants on.
Donald Duck.
Donald Duck. Goofy.
You didn't know Donald Duck?
I couldn't off the top of my head. Why and Pluto? Why are Pluto and Goofy both dogs?
That's
and
a good point.
They live different kinds of lifestyles.
Yep, Goofy is his own person, and
Pluto belongs Pluto to Mickey. It's weird.
I know
that might be problematic.
He's a pet. Yeah,
they're both dogs, though.
They are both dogs, but Pluto can't talk.
I know, but one's a pet, Pluto, and one's a person.
Pluto walks
but
on
both
all
dogs.
Fours.
That's my point. It's all very disturbing to me as an adult. I don't want to think of these thoughts anymore.
Conceivably, Pluto could have a pet dog. Not Pluto. Goofy could have a pet
Goofy
dog.
Goofy could have a pet dog.
That's messed up.
That is messed up. Imagine you had like a, like, maybe it's like
that's
a,
dark.
Like a BDSM thing. You know?
Yeah, that's what it is.
He walks his dog around on a leash.
Yeah, he's a dog with like a giant like spiked collar. And
this is my dog.
He whips it.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number. That took a turn. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, the Red Sox made a move today. Yes, the Boston Red Sox, who got booed mercilessly all weekend long, have responded with a trade. And they brought in a middle infielder. We'll tell you all about it next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a debate going on. What the hell is Goofy?
I don't know if this debate is even worth addressing, but we might as well, since a lot of people have chimed in on the text line, and someone called in, but they hung up.
They got scared. They didn't want the smoke.
There's a theory out there floating around that Goofy, beloved character Goofy from Disney, is a cow. Goofy's a dog. When have you ever seen a cow that looked like Goofy? It's an obvious, it's a dog. There's no mistaking it. It's clearly a dog.
He has long ears.
Yeah.
Cows don't have long
ears. Cows don't have long floppy ears and like snouts. I guess they do kind of have a snout. But
they
like,
have a little bit of a snout.
Yeah, that's not, you look at Goofy. Tell me if you've ever seen a cow that looks like that. And cow. I know that it's a Disney cartoon or whatever, but like, he's very clearly a dog. You look it up, it says Goofy is an anthropomorphic dog. That's
he
whatever
a dog knows.
Description of him is. So
Goofy first appeared in 1932 as Dippy Dog and then later transformed into Goofy.
Yeah. And not Goofy the cow, just Goofy the dog.
I have no idea what that caller was talking about.
It's not just a call. I mean, people are texting in with this too. I think that's a ridiculous statement to make. If you wanted to try and defend, if you have a theory, we take all sorts of alternate theories here. We won't silence you, but we will maybe make fun of it if we think it's wrong. I think this one's just plain old wrong. Anyway, the Red Sox today have acquired shortstop Adalberto Mondesi from the Kansas City Royals. It was a trade that sent Josh Taylor over to Kansas City. And according to Jeff Passan, this provides middle infield depth to buttress losses this winter to free agency and injury. About Xander Bogaerts and Trevor Story. Red Sox also receive a player to be named later or cash considerations, the two best things you can get. Mondesi, 27 years old. Was a top prospect 6 years ago in the Royals organization, but has not been healthy and recovering from a torn ACL in his left knee. He is also the son of Raul Mondesi, who is maybe the last, like, I was thinking about this. Back in 2002, the Yankees picked up Raul Mondesi. I forget if they traded for him or how they acquired him exactly, but this was before 04. This is when the Red Sox were still trying to, you know, win a championship and the Yankees were still beating the crap out of him every single year. And this was just something that happened every, you know.
Sorry, I thought
never
you
stopped.
Meant that, like, generally, like, that was the goal of the season, unlike now.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Not like try to win a championship ever.
No, they were really, really trying back then. Now it's just sort of whatever. And the Yankees, let me look up this roster because I remember the 2002 Yankees being really, really good. And when they picked up Mondesi, it was the last time I ever felt like real rage, real like sports rouse, just the right. I was like 20 years old, 20, 21 years old, and I lost it. I was so mad.
Mondesi was traded, by the way, from the Blue Jays to the Yankees for Scott Wiggins.
Like, that was the type of trades the Yankees used to make. Because Mondesi was good. He was this, like, weird. He had this weird body. He had, like, no shoulders, and he was kind of chubby, but he was really fast. He hit a ton of home runs. He had a rocket arm. He was just a really fun player to watch. And they traded for him, and he joined an outfield that had Bernie Williams and Rondell White already in it, and the rest of the roster was Posada, Giambi, Soriano, Jeter, and Robin Ventura with Nick Johnson DHing. And how about this pitching staff? Mike Mussina, David Wells, Roger Clemens, El Duque, and Andy Pettit with Mariano Rivera closing. That team,
that's just not fair.
Being a Red Sox fan back then was miserable. Every time they played the Yankees, it was just, oh my God, you knew there was they had no chance. They had no chance until 2004.
So it was brutal. This team will take you back there this season. You will feel young again.
Yes.
Because they will have no chance against these Yankees.
Because of Adalberto Mondesi being a constant reminder of those days when they could not catch the Yankees. And you're right, it's very poetic, Megan, because now here we are, however many years later, and the Red Sox once again cowering at the feet of the New York Yankees in their juiced up lineup, although not nearly as good as those 0-2 teams. All right, someone has decided to grow a pair, call in, and try and make the case that Goofy is a cow. Tyler is in Connecticut. Hi, Tyler.
Oh, no, I'm not making the case that he is a cow. I'm saying the reason people think he's a cow is his girlfriend is a cow. He is a dog.
Goofy has a girlfriend who's a cow?
Yeah.
What's the cow? What's your name?
Clarabelle.
Clarabelle the cow? Yep. All right. Well, that's okay. Thanks for the call, Tyler. I wasn't aware of this. This doesn't change Goofy's what Goofy is. Goofy's still a dog.
Okay, I'm looking at Clarabelle the cow.
So there's a little interspecies.
She's a very homely woman.
Oh.
Not very.
Well, she's a cow.
Well, it's because she's kind of a ripoff of olive oil, to be honest.
Really?
You remember that olive oil from sure. Popeye?
Yeah.
She's kind of just like olive oil with an uglier face.
Hmm.
Like an ugly cow face.
People made fun of olive oil, but like, look at Popeye.
What do you mean?
Like, Popeye's a weird looking guy. First of all, it looks like he can't like talk. His face is all scrunched up. He has these weird arms, you know? And this thing that happens when he eats spinach. Yeah, well, no, even when he doesn't eat the spinach, he's still got the weird forearms. And his face is like constantly like he's got the bitter beer face going on there. So, you know, like Popeye, you should be happy with olive oil. And you know what? Goofy should probably be happy with this cow lady. But I did not know that there was interspecies mating going on.
I didn't remember Goofy like having a girlfriend or a wife.
Well, he had kids in the Goofy movie. Were all the kids half cow?
No, but Max was full dog.
They were all dogs. So.
And Max had a girlfriend that was a dog, no?
Hmm.
Roxanne.
Yeah.
Roxanne.
Yeah, that's right.
I think Roxanne was also a dog.
Great movie.
So, I mean, clearly Goofy's also attracted to dogs.
Real quick question, because now I'm down a rabbit hole of these characters. Who is Scrooge McDuck related to?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
And Donald's his son.
Uncle.
Donald's his uncle?
No, because they all called him Uncle Donald and Uncle Scrooge. Yeah, so, okay, Huey, Dewey, and Louie were Donald's nephews.
Nephews, yep.
And Scrooge's great-nephews, I think, right?
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm glad we got that settled. Anyway, Goofy's
right.
A dog. It's weird that Pluto is also a dog. Grant Williams is definitely an adult Disney.
100%.
And Splash Mountain is canceled.
Yeah.
But how do they feel about Matt Patricia? That's the real question.
Oh, and apparently also the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. Now the women chase the pirates.
Okay, how's that any better? I don't understand how that's better than before.
Standard.
It's kind of an overcorrection, isn't it?
I think so. All right, now what kind of message is that sending? That little girls can chase pirates around and it's okay?
Shouldn't the pirates just be asking for permissions
from
the women?
How about it's just all the pirates and all the women.
All the pirates are asking for consent.
Just asking consent for each other to do things. Can we chase you? Oh, yo-ho-ho.
Pirates are famous for asking for consent, of course. That's
the new ride, they're all just signing, like, non-disclosure agreements. all the Pirates.
All of a sudden, women. All of a sudden, Deshaun Watson pops out of the corner.
Yarr! Yeah, okay.
He's got his little, like, pirate hand towel.
I've learned a lot about Disney today.
So Adalberto Mondesi,
thought. Adalberto Mondesi is a new Red Sox, and I'll tell you what, I mean, it's a stopgap, I guess. But you look at his numbers. They're nothing special.
He's fast. I know he's very fast.
He's coming off an ACL tear.
Coming off an ACL injury. Probably not great for the speed. But he's a burner. I think it went in the one season where he played, I think it was 100-some-odd games, he had 10 triples. And I got bored of looking the last time that a single Red Sox player hit 10 triples. I gave up after about 2014, I think. And he can play shortstop.
Yeah, he can play shortstop or he can play second base. And I think that's really the main thing here. You know, they who was the kid they just signed? Tapia, you know, like here's another
Tapia, they have.
And he's going to be in a minor league deal, but this guy's at least major league ready, and he can, you know, if he's healthy enough, he can play. But last year he hurt himself and wasn't exactly killing it before that happened either. So I don't know. I mean, you got a stopgap here. You needed one, but ultimately I think he's going to be in the mix with guys like Christian Arroyo and, you know, Kike Hernandez and some of these other guys for that kind of utility spot. That's
Cotillo
what it seems like
had the
to me.
Tweet of Duvall will likely be center field, Kike will stay at short, and then Arroyo and Mondesi will be swapping it up at second base.
Hmm. Okay.
Nothing thrilling.
Yeah. He's a switch hitter, right, Mondesi?
Yes.
So, okay. You don't need a platoon there with him or anything. You can just kind of throw him around. And that's good. It's good to have options like that. But, you know, when option A was Trevor Story and then you got a downgrade to Adalberto Mondesi because you decided to let Xander Bogaerts walk out the door, then, you know, this is what happens. These are the kind of things that happen. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we will reset on the news of the day. Bill O'Brien, your new offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. Do you like it? Do you love it? We'll talk about it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.